Welcome to episode 43 of the Farm Exec podcast. I'm Kristen Harm, associate editor of Farm Exec magazine and your podcast host. Farm Exec magazine is a multimedia publishing brand that brings you the latest commercial insights for the C-suite. On this week's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Sven Klingemann, who is the research director at the Reputation Institute. Sven talks about pharma's negative public perception and what the industry can do to improve it. Really quickly, I just wanted to remind you that we have this quick 5-minute survey where we focus on you, our listeners, to glean a little bit of insight into maybe what platform you're using to listen to the show, how long you'd prefer episodes to be, what type of content you're interested in hearing about in future. So if you have a minute, we'd love to hear from you. And you can access the survey from the link in our bio, through our social media channels, and then on farmexec.com under our editorial podcasts. The deadline is November 8th, so if you could complete it by then, we would really appreciate it. So let's take a break to hear a quick word from our sponsor, FingerPaint, and then we can listen to Sven's interview.
What's the color of commitment? What's the color of success or engagement? These aren't your everyday questions, but at FingerPaint, we ask them because we've found that once you open your eyes to new approaches, new colors, you see a whole new world of possibilities. FingerPaint, never paint by number.
Hello, podcasters. Today, Elaine Quilici, our senior editor, and I will be interviewing Sven Klingemann, research director at Reputation Institute. Sven recently examined the pharma industry as part of Reputation Institute's 2019 U.S. Pharma Rep Talk study. The annual report identified that pharma's reputation continues to decline. So Sven is here today to talk about what that means and what pharma can do to turn things around.
Thanks for joining us today, Sven.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So, Sven, can you start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and the Reputation Institute?
Yeah, of course. So, I'm a research director here at the Reputation Institute. And what that means is I'm kind of responsible for the thought leadership and innovation around the topic of reputation, which also includes analyzing and generating insights around industries such as the pharma industry. And just to give you a quick sense about the Reputation Institute, fundamentally, we're an insights advisory firm. And, you know, we help companies worldwide kind of measure and benchmark their reputation. And when we talk about reputation, I guess I want to sort of be preemptive here. We're really talking about that emotional connection that people have with companies, organizations. It's kind of the I love you questions, or how much do you love me? And we develop strategies on how to improve a company's reputation, also protect them against reputational risks to, at the end of the day, kind of improve their business performance. And, you know, we're well known for our connection to Forbes, right? So Forbes partners with us to publish, you know, rankings on the most reputable companies. So you might have seen us in that publication, among others.
Excellent. Before we get into the details of the results, do you want to maybe give us a quick summary about the study and the trends that you've seen around reputation when it comes to pharma?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, you know, pharma is one of the many industries that we track from a reputation perspective every single year. And sort of this study looked at the most familiar and biggest pharma companies in the US. And, you know, one thing that I think was really interesting was that, you know, the pharma industry sort of has continued to struggle from a reputation perspective year over year. And, you know, one thing that we have seen across other industries was sort of a reputational rebound from last year to this year. And that really has not been the case for pharma. You know, they've seen sort of a slight continued decline in their reputation. And I think, no, there are quite a few things that explain that. And the industry has been under a lot of pressure. And, you know, we can think about the cost of prescription drugs. You know, we can think about the highly publicized role of the opioid crisis, but also, you know, things such as workplace diversity that's really lacking in the industry, or, you know, the China-US trade tariffs that put the companies under pressure. So, you know, I think the industry as a whole has been struggling from a reputational perspective. So that's, you know, something that really stood out to us this year.
So while the pharma industry as a whole continued to decline, Bayer, AG, and Roche were the only two pharma companies that were able to earn a strong reputation ranking. So can you see any reasons why they were successful and maybe what other pharma companies can learn from them?
Sure. You know, I think Bayer is an interesting example. And, you know, the reason why they're at the top is that they have this long history with the American consumer. So that what we would call that deep emotional connection. And, you know, one thing that Bayer has been extremely successful in doing is highlighting the benefits that their products have for their customers. And, you know, we're all thinking Bayer, we're thinking aspirin, right? We're thinking heart health. And, you know, Bayer has been very smart in highlighting the link between aspirin and heart health, right? So they're basically saying my products really make a difference in my customers' lives. I think that has really helped them, you know, become the number one, but also helps them through difficult times. And, you know, we're all aware of some of the maybe negative headlines around Bayer this year, but they've really been able to weather the storm due to that, you know, deep emotional connection that they have developed historically, and the fact that they're really highlighting the benefits that their products have for, you know, individuals' well-being and public health as a whole. You know, this is what we see in our results. You know, they get really high marks around their citizenship performance, right? Contribution to society, but also on other measures of corporate responsibility, you know, ethical and fair behavior, you know, positive workplace. And I think that's something that we have also seen for number two for Roche. And, you know, Roche has sort of stayed... we haven't seen a lot of negative press around Roche, and I think that certainly has helped them relative to competition in terms of their ranking. But I think what Roche is also, you know, really well known for, maybe a bit less in the U.S., but is their sustainability efforts, right? They're very committed to UN sustainability goals. And it really shows, you know, they're the company that also gets the highest score on ethical behavior in our study. And I think all of these things combined, you know, contribute to them being number one. And, you know, I think since we're talking about what helps companies' reputation, the pharma industry, you know, there's sort of three different factors that really stand out. You know, you really have to have good products and services. You have to show a commitment to governance, right? Sort of fairness and ethical behavior. And finally, you know, you have to showcase that you're making a difference from a societal perspective, you know, what you contribute to your community, how do you help the environment. So these three elements, especially in the pharma industry, carry a really, really high weight when it comes to becoming or staying a reputable company. So what can other companies, you know, who might not be perceived as doing so well learn from our top two? And I think the bottom line is you have to outperform on corporate responsibility. And, you know, this is an area where the industry as a whole is really struggling. And so, you know, companies really need to educate, you know, the general public and, you know, the stakeholders that are important to them, that they are, you know, behaving in an ethical and transparent way, and also showcase the positive contributions that they're making to society. And I think that's really important for us to remember as we discuss this. You know, pharma companies, they're often sort of put in a negative light, right? But, you know, I strongly believe that they're also here to do good, right? And they have done a lot of that. So, but not a lot of people know about it. And I think a lot of the pharma companies really don't get enough credit about the difference, the positive difference that they're making. And we see that in our data, is that, you know, from a familiarity perspective, right? And we ask people, how familiar are you with pharma companies? How much do you know about what they do and what they stand for? You know, the pharma industry as a whole really underperforms, quote unquote, versus other industries. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to educate people and to get your message out there. And I think that Bayer and Roche have done a really good or above average job in doing these things.
In quantifying performance, do missteps have greater impact in pharma than they would in other industries? Maybe because pharma's reputation is already so compromised.
What we have found is that a good reputation really acts as a buffer in times of crisis, right? So, you know, companies with you know, no matter the industry you're in, right? Companies with a good reputation are better able to weather a storm, quote unquote, right? And why? Well, it's because people know you, people trust you. And if you take a misstep, you know, they're more likely to forgive you, right? They give you the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. Now, companies that struggle from a reputational perspective, you know, if something happens to them, you know, we see that the impact is actually much, much more negative, right? And that, you know, is the case for the pharma industry, but also for other industries. So I think what's really important, obviously, is not only to build, you know, your reputation, have a good reputation so that it acts kind of as an insurance when times are tougher. But what we also see is that only lasts for a certain amount of time, right? So if you keep not living up to expectations, right, or not doing the right thing, no, we also see that slowly that good reputation that you might have had erodes over time. So I think you have a certain leeway, right, a certain amount of goodwill if you're a reputable company, but, you know, that will only last so long.
Okay, so the news often focuses on the negative aspects of pharma. We see reports on high drug prices and the opioid problem. How do you think that pharma can change its image in the media to overcome the perception that all it cares about is a bottom line?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to social media, and I think you're right, when we look at the media discussion, our data, we see indeed, especially on social media, that the sentiment, right, is very negative around the pharma industry. So, you know, that's something that we do see here on our side as well. And I think another interesting fact related to that is when we look at the importance of kind of financial performance, right, or profitability of pharma companies, you know, that's the area that is the least important in driving reputation in that industry. At the same time, it's an area where people say, you know, pharma companies are actually really doing well in that area, right? So there's a sort of disconnect. So that's something that we also found in our research. I think what I would say is that, you know, a lot of pharma companies really have a public relations crisis right now, and what they need is to really take control of that public narrative, right? That is very negative, and you know, I think the public perception around pharma is pretty negative when it comes to ethics and pricing, how it deals with customers, what it contributes to communities. And our data really show that they're getting fairly low grades. So I think what they can do is really, you know, link their products, right, what they're offering, which is important, but also their financial performance to, you know, their corporate responsibility contributions, right? So what difference are my products making, right? What difference are my profits making, doing in making this world a better place, you know, simply said, showcasing how profits get reinvested in, you know, obviously drug development, but also other initiatives that touch on corporate responsibility. You know, I think they also need to take the same approach when it comes to showcasing, you know, transparency, you know, how they do business, who they do business with. But at the end of the day, you know, until or unless they provide proof points, right, that they're really engaged and that they're sort of really genuine about it, you know, they're not going to have a lot of credibility when it comes to communicating around these issues. So I think it all starts with, you know, showcasing results, showcasing initiatives, educating and informing people around what they do. And I think then you can hopefully start seeing a shift in public perceptions and attitude. So I think it's a big opportunity for the pharma industry, you know, to not only do the right thing, but make sure that people know more about it.
As we move into an election year, how do you think political topics surrounding pharma, for example, the current focus on drug pricing and other hot policy issues, how do you think that will affect the public's perception of the industry?
It's a really good question. I think that broadly speaking, healthcare is really is going to be at the center of this upcoming election. And, you know, I think no matter what your political affiliation is, right, whether you're Republican, independent, or Democrat, or identify with any other political sort of grouping or party, you know, healthcare matters to everybody. And you see, we've talked about this, right? Insurance rates are going up, you know, the rising cost of prescription drugs. People are really concerned about getting access to affordable healthcare. And I think that all of these different topics are really going to play a key role in, you know, deciding who is getting elected. And I think there's a lot of public pressure, you know, that's mounting here for political leaders to take a stand on these issues. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to follow through with it? And I also think that every political party is really taking the issue of healthcare very seriously. Now, very different approaches in terms of how to solve this. But, you know, I think that's something that we can definitely agree on. And, you know, to get back to the pharma industry more specifically, you know, given that most political leaders or parties are taking it seriously and are really focusing, as an example, on the affordability of prescription drugs, you know, that the pharma industry really needs to make a compelling case that they are indeed working for the public good and not just focusing on their own bottom line. And now, I think if they're successful in making that case, right, and again, you know, they need to showcase that they're actually doing something, right? You need proof points. But I think not only gain the goodwill of the general public, but also that of regulators and legislators. And that's independent of the outcome of the election, right? So by, you know, doing the right thing, right, showing that it's about more than just their profits, you know, they can create hopefully that goodwill. And that could really make the difference between also, I think, facing a stricter regulatory environment or a more lenient one. And here again, it's a big opportunity. You know, pharma companies are doing a lot of good. And I think if your company is viewed in a positive or at least less negative way, you know, you can really take advantage of that, you know, draw contrast to your competitors, you know, create a competitive advantage by kind of highlighting all the positive and good things that you're doing.
And it seems like a really good time for companies to reach beyond the standard DTC ads and engage the public through wellness campaigns and community events. Maybe could you give some concrete examples of how pharma can communicate that it's being ethical and transparent?
So when we talk about ethics, you know, in the context of the pharma industry, I think it's really about doing the right thing. And I think that reaches into a very different business areas. And what pharma companies really need to do is redouble their efforts to kind of go above and beyond you know, simply promoting their products or, you know, contrasting the benefits of their products versus a competitive product, right? At the end of the day, that might not make such a huge difference. So I think more specifically, what they should increasingly do or focus on is, you know, showcasing what positive difference they're making to society at large and how they're acting in an ethical way. And to get back to the earlier point that I was trying to make, that reaches into a lot of different business domains. So, you know, they should showcase how their products are helping reach that goal of doing the right thing. You know, have they helped the communities that they operate in? Do they, you know, partner with or source from ethical and reputable suppliers, as an example? Do they have a workplace that promotes the well-being of their employees? Do they have reputable and ethical leadership? So you get where I'm going, right? That it's a broader approach, right? That they need to be able to go above and beyond just showcasing their products, right? But saying, okay, I'm acting in a positive and ethical way in all of these different domains, and really get that message out. And I think that will be the most effective way to go about it.
Well, great. Thanks so much for being with us today, Sven.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Fingerpaint. Never paint by number. Find us online at fingerpaint.com.
And now it's time for this week's leadership tips from Pharma Execs.
Hi, my name is Sven Klingemann. I'm research director at the Reputation Institute. And my leadership tip is you can't manage what you don't measure. And that definitely also applies to your reputation.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's PharmaExec podcast sponsored by Fingerpaint. We are always pleased to take you behind the headlines, provide expert tips from industry leaders, and give you an inside look at what the PharmaExec staff is working on. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmaexec.com, on Twitter at PharmaExec, on Instagram at PharmaExecutive, and on YouTube. The views expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of PharmaExec, its parent company, or our advertisers. For editorial questions, please email Editorial Director Lisa Henderson at lhenderson@mmhgroup.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please email group publisher Todd Baker at tbaker@mmhgroup.com.